What does it take to buy a fighter jet? It sounds like a straightforward question. A nation decides it needs an airplane, evaluates the options, signs a contract, and starts training pilots. Simple Canada would like a word with you about that. I'm Tower, and this is OTAS on Radio Hangar. Today we're going deep on one of the longest, most politically tortured aircraft procurement programs in recent memory, Canada's pursuit of the F-35 Lightning II. A program that started in the late 1990s, nearly collapsed under partisan politics, survived a change of government and a complete restart of the selection process, and is now, finally actually, moving forward. Here's what that story looks like. And here's what it tells us about the increasingly complicated intersection of military aviation, alliance politics, and North American defense. Today's program is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start at the beginning, not the beginning of the F-35 program itself. That's a book, not a radio segment. But at the beginning of Canada's involvement, it was 1997. The Joint Strike Fighter program was taking shape at the Pentagon. The United States needed a next-generation multi-role combat aircraft to replace a long list of aging platforms across the Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. But the Joint Strike Fighter program was designed from the start as a coalition effort. Partner nations would contribute development funding, gain industrial participation, and eventually buy the jet. Canada signed on as a Level 3 industrial partner. That came with real money. Canada invested roughly $550 million into the development of the F-35 over the years. That investment bought Canadian aerospace companies hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts. Components for the program were built by firms like Magellan Aerospace and CAE. Parts of every F-35 flying today were made in Canada. So Canada was in Canada, helped build the thing. The reasonable assumption was that Canada would eventually buy it. Fast forward to 2010. The Harper government announced its intent to purchase 65 F-35A variants to replace the aging CF-188 Hornet fleet. That's the Canadian designation for the FA-18, a jet that had been in Royal Canadian Air Force service since the early 1980s. No competitive bid, a sole source contract with Lockheed Martin. That announcement set off a political firestorm that lasted the better part of a decade. The opposition argued the sole source approach was inappropriate, that a purchase of this scale demanded a proper competition. The parliamentary budget officer estimated the total lifecycle cost at somewhere between 25 and 44 billion Canadian dollars. The government's numbers were significantly lower. That gap became a political weapon, and it was used effectively. There was also the F-35 itself to contend with. In 2010, the program was years behind schedule and billions over budget. It was struggling through a development process that had become a case study in what happens when you try to design three fundamentally different aircraft variants under one program umbrella, a conventional Air Force version, a carrier-capable Navy version, and a short takeoff, vertical landing version for the Marine Corps. Critics of the jet, and there were plenty, pointed to all of it. Was Canada locking itself into a program that might not deliver on its promises? The Liberals won the 2015 election. Justin Trudeau had campaigned in part against the F-35, not against fighter jets. Canada genuinely needed to replace its CF-188s, and that was broadly understood. But against this particular contract, this particular process, Trudeau's government opened up a competition. What followed was years of evaluation. The Royal Canadian Air Force laid out its requirements. Companies submitted proposals. The jets under consideration included the F-35A from Lockheed Martin, the Boeing FA-18E and F Super Hornet, the Saab Gripen E from Sweden, the Eurofighter Typhoon, and the Dassault Rafale from France. Each of those aircraft had something real to offer. The Super Hornet was a known quantity. Canada had been flying its predecessor for decades, training alongside U.S. Navy and Marine Corps operators, and the airframe was mature. The Gripen E was smaller, cheaper to operate, and Saab had a reputation for working collaboratively with partner nations in ways that the larger defense primes sometimes don't. The Rafale had proven itself in combat and was finding export success it had struggled to find for years. The Eurofighter brought range and high-altitude performance. But here's the thing about Canada's specific situation that shaped every one of those comparisons. NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, is a binational operation. The United States and Canada, together, responsible for the aerospace sovereignty of the entire continent. Canadian fighters fly NORAD missions regularly. They scramble to intercept unknown aircraft entering North American airspace. They operate side-by-side with U.S. Air Force jets over the Arctic and the Atlantic approaches. The data links they use, the communications architecture they fly within, the shared tactical picture they rely on, all of it has to work seamlessly between Canadian and American aircraft. The F-35 was designed from the ground up to be the backbone of that networked, integrated air defense structure. The systems it carries, the way it communicates, the picture it builds and shares with other platforms. It's deeply woven into how the U.S. Air Force expects to operate in contested airspace for the next several decades. Flying any other jet alongside F-35s in that environment means flying with degraded integration. That's not a fatal flaw in all circumstances. NATO operates with mixed fleets all the time. But in the specific context of NORAD, where Canada and the United States are expected to function as a single, fused air defense network defending the same continent, it matters in ways that a straight capability comparison doesn't fully capture. The evaluation process confirmed what a lot of defense analysts had expected from the beginning. In 2022, the Canadian government announced that the F-35A was its preferred candidate. Lockheed Martin was invited to enter exclusive contract negotiations, and in 2023, Canada formally announced that a deal had been reached in principle for 88 F-35A aircraft. 88. That's larger than the 65 the Harper government had originally sought. The Royal Canadian Air Force had determined it needed more airframes to fulfill its commitments. NORAD obligations, NATO Article 5 responsibilities, training pipelines, maintenance rotations, and the inevitable attrition of operational flying over a multi-decade service life. The financial picture is significant. The estimated contract value has been reported in the range of $19 billion Canadian dollars for the aircraft themselves, with total lifecycle costs climbing considerably higher once you factor in sustainment, training infrastructure, and base modifications. Defense procurement at this scale isn't a transaction. It's a 30, 40, 50-year industrial relationship. Now, here's the question the current reporting is really asking. Why is Canada moving forward with this purchase right now, given everything that's happened in the relationship between Ottawa and Washington? Because that context matters. Trade disputes, tariff battles, and pointed rhetoric from Washington about Canadian defense spending have created genuine friction in a partnership that most people in both countries had long taken for granted. There have been real public debates in Canada about whether deep military integration with the United States is still the right posture going forward, about sovereignty, about dependence, about whether buying American equipment in a period of American unpredictability is strategically wise, and yet Canada is moving forward. The answer, I think, comes back to that NORAD argument, but with higher stakes now than when the interoperability case was first made. Canada and the United States are, whatever their current political tensions, defending the same continent. Russian long-range aviation probes North American airspace on a regular basis. The Arctic is an increasingly contested strategic domain. The threat picture that NORAD was built to address hasn't gotten easier. It's gotten considerably harder. There is no version of a credible Canadian contribution to North American defense that involves keeping a fleet of 40-year-old fighters in the air indefinitely. The F-35A is the jet that solves the capability problem and maintains the integration Canada needs for its most fundamental defense commitment. Other jets could fill the capability gap in some dimensions. No other jet available to Canada fills the NORAD integration requirement in the same way. When you strip the procurement debate down to that core question, what does Canada actually need to do the job? The answer kept coming back to the same airframe. There's also the industrial argument. Canada helped build the F-35. Those workshare agreements, the contracts with Canadian aerospace manufacturers, don't automatically transfer to a competitor purchase. Walking away from the F-35 in favor of the Gripen or the Rafale would have meant walking away from an industrial investment that predated most of the politicians who argued about it. So, where does the program stand today? The deal is in motion. Canada expects to take delivery of its first F-35 as in the early 2030s. Pilot training will involve Canadian aviators going through the multinational F-35 training pipeline, likely at facilities in the United States and potentially in Europe alongside partner nation crews. The CF-188s will continue flying until their replacements arrive. The airframes have been extended through upgrades, but the hours are finite. For the Canadian pilots who will eventually fly the F-35, this represents a generational shift. Moving from a fourth-generation fighter to a fifth-generation stealth aircraft isn't just a type rating. It's a different relationship between the pilot and the machine. F-35 pilots describe flying in a fundamentally different information environment than anything earlier fighters provided. The sensor fusion, the situational awareness, the way the jet synthesizes data from its own sensors and from other platforms and presents it to the pilot, it changes what the job looks like. The aircraft does more of the work of building the picture. the pilot does more of the work of deciding what to do with it. For the broader defense relationship between Canada and the United States, the F-35 purchase is a signal. Whatever the current friction, Canada is committing to operate in the same air defense architecture as the United States for the next several decades. That's not a trivial statement to make right now. And for anyone who has been following the long, complicated story of the F-35 program itself, this is another chapter in the gradual vindication of a jet that was widely written off during its troubled development years. 12 nations now operate the F-35. The early problems, cost overruns, schedule slips, software growing pains, questions about whether the design compromises required by a three-variant program were survivable, have been largely answered by the operational record. Pilots flying it tend to speak about it with an enthusiasm that suggests the jet delivers on its promise in the air. Whatever the mess on the ground during procurement, Canada spent roughly 30 years getting to a signed deal. The money is committed, the contract is moving. And somewhere, a Royal Canadian Air Force pilot is thinking about the day they swap the cockpit of a CF-188 for something that doesn't exist yet at their base. That's a long road to a runway. Sources today include Simple Flying, the National Post, and official documentation from the Royal Canadian Air Force and Canada's Department of National Defense. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. 30 years is a long time to wait for a jet. Fly safe.